when we were training and I had you, you were a little apprehensive about doing the heavier weight and you got it going and you felt so great after, and even you felt accomplished in yourself. It just brought you to another level. And I just want to remind people, in order to be a badass, you have to do the things that badass people do, right? And then when we did the hanging knee raises and you had to jump up there and catch the bar, and it was in a gym filled with people, and I know it was nerve-wracking.
And a lot of really fit people too, I might add. But I have worked out in gyms for years. I mean, it's not like I'm a newbie, like I've never walked at a gym. But yeah, there's something when you go in there and you see a ton of people lifting really heavy shit, you just get intimidated. It's easy to be intimidated.
And meanwhile, up in the left-hand corner, there was Dr. Sims. She was there training too, remember? She was doing the hip extensions. That was so funny.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms.
Hi, this episode is for you if you are a woman over 40 and want easy, applicable solutions for losing fat, gaining muscle, and improving health during perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause.
Today is the 50th episode of Functional Moms Podcast. For those of you who are new, we started the show last year to help women over 40 improve their health through functional medicine and lifestyle solutions. Our expert guests have given us many simple tips for improving health.
Sometimes functional medicine is labeled as too expensive or out of reach for most people, but our show has proven that's not always the case. There are so many behavior and lifestyle changes that can help improve your health and well-being, as well as for your family.
Today, we're going to highlight three of the biggest tips we've learned during season two when it comes to shredding fat and gaining muscle after 40. So let's get to it. Raquel, what's tip number one?
Okay, Kristen, tip number one comes from our most downloaded episode. It's number 43, Your Guide to Fitness and Nutrition After 40 with Dr. Stacy Sims. For those of you that don't know, I just want to also share that Dr. Sims is an internationally renowned exercise physiologist and nutrition scientist specializing in women's health. She shared that in order to gain muscle and shred fat, we should not be skipping breakfast and eating according to our circadian rhythm. She highlighted that research on intermittent fasting was done on sanitary women.
Yeah, this was a tough one to swallow for me because I was such a breakfast skipper and I really clung onto the whole intermittent fasting craze for, I guess I've been doing it for like 5 years or so, you know? And I feel like at first I did notice a difference. Like I felt like it was helping me either maintain or shred weight. But then over time, I felt like it almost backfired and wasn't working. And so this really kind of opened my eyes to that I really should be trying to eat breakfast. And I have, like, I've started to eat earlier. It's really hard for me still to eat breakfast first thing when I get up, like as she had recommended, but I am experimenting a little bit with maybe putting some protein powder in my coffee or something like that to give yourself a little something, especially if I'm going to work out like really early. So what are your thoughts, Raquel?
Well, my experience is also like even like with myself and even with clients that a lot of women say it's hard for them to eat breakfast. And I just recently started working out of Mike Duffy's personal coaching out of his personal studio. And I was in a seminar that he was conducting and he had a great tip about this. And it was all about, he also talks about, you know, eating your biggest calories and during the day and trickling down toward the evening. And he says, like, for those people that struggle with breakfast, like a heavier breakfast in the morning, maybe switch it out. Like if you have a snack, have the snack first to get the the motor rolling and then eat your breakfast after the snack, kind of like switch it around. And I thought
That's a good tip.
I thought that was really great and helpful because I also struggle with having like a bigger meal first thing in the morning. However, now working with the circadian rhythm and not eating like past 5 or, you know, or 7 or whatever, like pending, I think it's like, I try to do it with the daylight, mm-hmm. like as the, I try not
yes.
to.
Yes. And that gets harder as we get into winter. It's a lot more yes. challenging. Yeah.
A lot more challenging. And, but I noticed that I'm hungrier in the morning since I've been mm-hmm. really paying attention to that.
Yes. So for me, I agree. Just last week, I actually cut my feeding off by 4:30 p.m. I was done for the day with my eating. I had to drive kids around for that evening. And I was just like, I'm not going to eat. I was tempted when I got home at like 8:30 to like have something. And I was like, nope, I'm sticking to it. And I had better sleep. Like when I, because I have an Oura ring, I can track my sleep. And I could see that my sleep was deeper and that my HRV, which is that heart rate variability that shows like your stress load and how your body's, you know, how resilient you are, that right. score was much higher. So there definitely is something to kind of stopping eating earlier in, you know, in the evening as early as possible. And then, you know, seeing what happens with your body. It's definitely yeah. worth experimenting with.
Yeah. And I just want to add to that, that I also know there's certain, there's work that your body's doing while you're sleeping and that, you know, with your organs and such. So if your body is busy digesting, it's not doing that other work. And so I think that, you know, I think that's part of it and why you get into a nice deeper sleep because your body's actually able to do the work.
Yes, right. That digestion already happened. And then I can just mm-hmm. rest and repair and all that. So it's definitely something to play around with. We actually had one other guest too, Audrey Zona from Zo Healthy. She had mentioned too about doing that with the, you know, cutting your feeding window off earlier instead of, you know, skipping breakfast, you know, maybe eat an early dinner and then be done for the day. And that she has clients trying to lose weight and that they actually have better results doing it that way.
Yeah. All right. So Kristen, what's our tip number two?
Yes. So tip number two also comes from the amazing interview with Dr. Sims. We learned in order to build muscle after 40, we need to be lifting heavy weights. Think lower reps, but more weight. And to shred fat, we also need to incorporate some sit training, also known as sprint interval training.
You know, for me, this was something that I trained really heavy as a trainer. I have to say there are so many women, and I just plead with you women, that just are afraid to lift heavy. They think they're going to get bulky. They think they're going to, you know, look like have a male, you know, physique or something. And that is not the case. And then the one thing that I wasn't really familiar with was I'm familiar with HIIT, but I was not familiar with the sit training that mm-hmm. Dr. Sims shared. And so that one was really great. And I've been implementing that into like my workouts. And that's...
Yeah. So I have to say, you know, obviously I am not the personal trainer that you are. You're, you know, certified professional. So, but for me, I've always strength trained, but probably not as heavy as she was suggesting. And so since learning that, I really have, you know, tried to push myself further and lift heavier. For me, I'm never afraid of bulking up. I'm more afraid of getting injured, that I'm going to do something. And, you know, that's the last thing I want is to have an injury. So I think that is more my reasoning to shy away. But I think that, you know, learning this information, I think I'm still a work in progress on it, but I'm definitely pushing myself and making sure that I keep upping my weights versus just upping my reps.
Yeah.
And so I think it is making a difference. I can tell I just feel stronger in general in my life. And I know we were lucky. We got our muscle mass measured at the functional medicine meeting in Vegas. Yes. We had an in-body scan.
Yes.
And you had a lot of muscle.
Everyone was
really jealous of you. But I had really good, you know, muscle too. Like it wasn't saying that I had to put more on necessarily, which was really exciting for me. And I feel like if people can get access to that, that's such a great tool to be able to really track where you're going with it. Yes. Now for the sit training for me, I found that more confusing. I had heard of HIIT. I had done HIIT. Yes. Sit, you know, is really pushing yourself to that limit. And I have practiced, I actually live on a hill and I practice, you know, just running as hard as I possibly could, you know, for, you know, maybe like 30 seconds.
I want to see that on video. I want to see that on video.
was so hard mentally to like get myself geared up to do it.
If you enjoy Functional Moms podcast channel, please consider hitting that subscribe button because it would really help us.
And we would love to hear, how are you functioning? Please leave a comment. Like every fiber in my body didn't want to do it.
Yes.
So I have to say that that's something that I'm still working on. Like I don't think I've done it consistently enough yet. And I would be curious from you as the trainer, like what are some other ideas I could do to try? Because I didn't love the running, but because I know there's other things I could do besides running.
Yeah, well, you can do burpees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Those are rough.
You can do burpees. Yeah, you can just do, you know, you can do burpees. You can do like run in place, mm-hmm. like
okay.
for as hard as you could. I just want to also say something because you and I have had the pleasure of training together. And I just want to say like twice when both times when we were training and I had you, you were a little apprehensive about like doing the heavier weight and, but you got it going and just, you know, you felt so great after, and even just like you felt accomplished in yourself, it just brought you to another level. And I just want to remind people, like, in order to be a badass, you have to do the things that badass people do, right? That's and true. Then when we did yeah. the hanging yeah. knee raises and yep. you had to jump up there and catch the bar, and it was in a gym filled with people, and I know it was nerve-wracking.
And a lot of really fit people too, I might add. Like definitely, you know, and I have worked out in gyms for years. I mean, it's not like I'm a newbie, like I've never walked at a gym, but there's yeah. something when you go in there and you see a ton of people lifting really heavy shit, you know, you just get intimidated. It's easy to be intimidated.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember that day and I had you jump up there and you did it, and it was just so awesome. And meanwhile, up in the left-hand corner, there was Dr. Sims. She was there training too, remember? She
yes,
was in the hip extension.
Totally. I know. No that wonder why so I funny. Felt inseminated that day. But it was good. It's great to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And I think working out with a partner is really good, and definitely yes. a personal trainer for sure.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to say that you're right. A lot of some of the things is that women are afraid that they're going to get bulky, which I'm going to tell you, you will not get bulky. You would have to do so much in order to ever. I mean, it's hard enough for us to even gain muscle, you know, once we're in that perimenopausal menopausal. Like mm-hmm. the 40 plus group, right? But then it's also getting hurt, you know, getting hurt. If you feel like you're going to get hurt, and if you can hire a trainer, just even if it's just for a period of time mm-hmm. to get you on the right track.
Yeah,
and
it's so true.
It's really worth it. So tip number 3 comes from episode 26, What Doctors Don't Tell You About Perimenopause, Menopause, with Kristen Johnson and Maria Claps. They are the popular duo behind the Wise and Well Instagram account and hormone experts. In this episode, we learn to prioritize protein due to something called anabolic resistance as you age. This is where the muscle is less responsive to protein and exercise. Thus, mm-hmm. what we were just talking yep. about. And in this episode, Kristen and Maria recommend getting at least 30 grams of protein per meal.
Yeah, I think that that was a super helpful recommendation for me. And it inspired me to actually start tracking my protein, and because it's just not something I ever really focused on. It wasn't, you know, I think I would be more like, maybe if I was trying to lose weight, I would look more at calories. Carbs was a thing for so long. Oh, I'm going to get rid of all the carbs and, you know, and I'm just forgetting about my protein. And here we are, you know, finding out that it's even more important after 40 that you are focusing on that. And I think that that message is lost a lot. You know, you don't get that information from your doctor. No one's telling you, oh, you're not building muscle as well. You know, they just tell you when there's a problem and all of a sudden you're losing bone and things like that. It's, you know, and we don't want to get to that point. So,
right. Or I just want to say, or they'll say like, well, how old are you? I'm 58. Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Like,
you're right where you're supposed to
be. You should have a little bit of osteoporosis or something.
Oh,
I know.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Or what about when I Googled, you know, how much protein should you be getting according to? And it's like this like little, like tiny amount of protein. And so for me, I find it very interesting. I feel like, again, people can feel overwhelmed. And when we were reviewing our episodes, one of the things that we talked about was actually doing some footage of what, you know, 30 grams of protein per meal looks like, 50 grams of protein per meal looks like.
Right. Because, they said minimum 30 grams. I mean, they said it'd be better if you could overshoot that, because a lot of people, again, aren't synthesizing it properly. Your body's just not working as effectively as it used to.
Yeah, I posted something, and I think you all posted something on what, 50 grams of protein looks like in one meal setting. And I think that it would be really a great service for us to remember to do more of that, because
I think so too. Yeah. I'm always looking for creative ideas. I know you posted something like, you take the protein powder and you put it in a Greek yogurt, and right there you can hit such a high number.
Do some blueberries in there.
Which is good, because that's my other problem with the fiber. I know fiber is still important. We don't want to completely get rid of that. And when you start focusing too much on protein, it can be hard to balance it all out.
Yeah. So, so those were some really good tips. And I think it really kind of shapes some of the things that I think our population are really looking for, which is to look and feel our best, so that we're our best and being able to continue to take care of our families to the best of our ability. And you can't do that if you're weak or, just feeling terrible.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, these are all simple, applicable things that you could do. It's not hard. And if someone out there, has never tracked protein or whatnot, there's so many great apps. There's like MyFitnessPal, there's a Chronometer, I think is the one I'm using, something like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of options for people, because that'll give you a better idea of how much, or you just add it. I mean, actually somebody we had said they have people that just write it down. I mean, just write it down and add it up and write it down in a notebook or something. And it'll give you a better sense of where you're at, because if you don't track, it's pretty hard. You really don't know.
You have to see where you're at so that you can understand, where you need to be or what you need to add. Or, I think we've had quite a few episodes where some of our experts have mentioned sometimes we're so focused on what we're trying to take out and as opposed to add in.
Yes.
Because so if you true. Can add Right. If we
oh, it's
add
the way
in,
to go. Adding in is the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Adding in is the way to go, because if you add in, what you don't need just naturally falls off, and you don't have to think that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think. And then the other thing is what we started with, which was people think that functional medicine can be very expensive. Yeah. If you're talking about maybe seeing a functional medicine practitioner or something like that, but lifestyle choices and how you live on the daily is absolutely, a lot of it is absolutely free.
100%. And functional medicine is so based on the lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
That is like the foundation. Yes, you can do the fancy testing. You can get the supplements. That's all great. And maybe sometimes it's actually really needed.
Right.
But the majority, the bulk of your work is all going to come down to the day to day, the thoughts you think, the food you eat, and the exercise you do or do not do. So I think it really is great.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting message, that it can be accessible to everybody. It really can. A lot of this can.
Yeah. And I know sometimes, I just want to end with this, because I know sometimes it's like, gosh, how many times are we going to hear the same things over and over again? But I think it would be such a disservice for us not to constantly keep talking about the things that make a difference and sharing, like when you just shared about how you stopped eating at a certain time and you could tell by your ordering.
Your ordering.
That's what it was. How it made a difference in your sleep quality, right? That's so helpful to, I don't know how many women right now listening to us.
Mm-hmm. It's
right.
True.
And it's helpful to us to rinse and repeat, because repetition is the mother of skill.
It's so true. And again, not being perfect about it. I'm not going to cut my feeding window off at 4:30 PM every day. No way. I have a life. I have family. I want to eat with my family. I don't want to.
Girlfriends, right? Go out to a party.
Exactly. But maybe on certain nights I implement that, and it would be worth it. So it's definitely worth trying new things instead of just being stuck in the same old pattern.
Right. And consistency. And it's not an all or nothing mindset. And I think that, just even talking about these things makes such a difference, and implementing them, because some of these things actually do stick, right?
Yes.
They stick. There's so many things that I didn't do before that I now do just because I kept practicing it little by little. And then it's just become part of my lifestyle.
Yes.
And it's amazing. It's truly amazing. So, all right.
100%. Thanks so much.
Yes. Have a great rest of your day.
Recapping, the top three tips we've learned for maximizing weight loss and building muscle after 40 are:
1. Eat according to your circadian rhythm. What does that look like?
Eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try not to eat after dinner and make dinner time earlier.
2. Lift heavy weights and incorporate sit training, which is sprint interval training.
And 3, prioritize protein and eat 30 grams per meal.
If you try any of these tips, leave a comment. We would love to hear how it went for you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.